Amen.
Okay.
Stack.
Okay. I'm sorry. Who was to the stack?
Jane.
Jane. Okay. Okay, Frank Lefebvre,
Okay, it's beginning to get kind of clear for me. I'm beginning to understand the situation. And here at WBAI, I know it's really a rather desperate thing to get people willing to invest on for our particular needs and so on. And so I agreed that the trust of the donors and the honoring of a restriction to a restricted account is extremely important. So it's not a minor matter. And as regards our legitimacy in making the motion, I agree with Campbell, since the audit says it's restricted, and there's been some talk as if it were not going to be considered as restricted, it is our purview to inform them, yes, it is restricted, that's what the audit says, and so I definitely support the informing them, so not asking them for clarification, but informing them that this is a restricted fund, and it's really a de facto rejection of the audit if they treat it any other way. And a rejection of the donor, of course.
Yes.
Thank you, Frank. Melinda, you have the floor.
Yes, there's a consideration that I think oftentimes gets totally waylaid and shoved aside by so many other stations. And as a person, as a long-time member of the KPFTLSB, it bothers me. And that's a simple fund. What bothers me is how many of the other stations don't seem to be paying. Now, what I'm thinking is this. I would not be surprised if they didn't snatch part of just about any fund that comes in there that's not part of a fundraiser for that, because there is an obligation that's required for every single one of the stations. Now, but beyond that, I don't think that we might have set recommendations, but I don't think that we really can tell anybody anything. I think that really goes down to whether or not the PMB will elect that.
Thank you, Melinda. Jane, you have the floor.
It does seem to me that this motion speaks directly to issues of internal control. It seems to me that the wording of the audit, it's very clear, very plain. These are restricted funds. This is a building fund, WPFW. So the question that Campbell has, I think it's quite appropriate to bring up, is there seems to have been a suggestion of some process which is not proper in terms of potential use of those funds for other things. I really think that this boils down to questions of internal control, and I think that I'm probably going to vote no on this motion simply because I don't think that it speaks clearly to getting all of our ducks in order. I agree with the sentiment, but I think that we really need to be a lot more clearly focused on, you know, what is the internal control question at hand here. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody else for the stack who wants to?
I don't think I was on the stack.
I would like to add a point that. I don't think the two things are mutually exclusive. I think we can pinpoint this specific case and at the same time get at the more basic and more far-reaching questions of internal control. But that's, I don't see any reason why we cannot at the same time address this specific incident which has come up.
Okay. That was Frank Lefebvre again.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else?
Nancy is on the stack.
Okay, Nancy, you have the floor.
You know, I'm not sure I understand that the donor donated this money for building committee. Whether or not it's for the building of a new building or the purchase of an existing building, that's probably a legitimate question. But I'm not sure that the audit committee has the power to throw that away And if we did, we would be cutting off our own head despite our neck. And I want to, you know, I think probably we should move on.
Well, does anybody else want to discuss this anymore? I think we've by thoroughly discussing this, we clarified the issue.
I heard a little point of confusion in that last statement there.
No,
really.
We are really supporting the interest of the donor in restricting the thing. We're not speaking against the donor.
In that case,
we're supporting the idea of the restricted cause for the grant.
Well, then we should move on.
Move on? What does that mean? Don't vote?
Well, are we voting? Are we voting
there
to support something that already exists?
The chair rules that there is a motion on the floor. We have to dispose of it in some way.
William, put us back.
William, you have the floor.
Thank you. I propose an amendment to the motion that we add at the beginning of the motion, whereas WPFW members interpreted a statement by the CFO at an LSB meeting that there is some question as to the availability of restricted funds, and then go on to what Campbell had.
Can you give that to me again?
Whereas WPFW members interpreted a statement by the CFO at an LSB meeting to state that there was wondering whether there was some question as to the restriction, the availability of restricted funds. I'm trying to write it down as I'm saying it.
Okay. And this is an amendment to Campbell's motion. That this
right.
also be conveyed to management.
Right. This would be the motion which explain why we're asking the question.
Okay.
Well, why we're asking.
WPFW members interpreted a statement by the CFO at an LSB meeting, and what was the rest of it?
By the CFO at an LSB meeting, that there was some question as to the restriction. A question as to restricted fund usage of restricted funds.
Could I add a little thing to that? Could I say the absolute restriction of restricted funds?
Okay.
Of restricted funds. Okay, thank you. And then I'll go on with it from there.
All right. Okay, Campbell, you're recording all that, Campbell. Type that up and send it to the committee after the fact?
Okay.
Janet's back.
Janet, you have the floor.
Well, I also would recommend including something about the audit committee exercising its responsibility to make sure that there are internal controls in place.
I think that's a separate motion.
It's a separate motion.
Yeah, and that's part of our charge, and I don't think we need to express that. I mean, we could go into the whole thing of what is the charge of the audit committee and really make this very unclear.
Did somebody request the stack just now?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can we vote?
My phone's going. We need to vote.
Okay. Is somebody calling the question at this point? Is there any objection to calling the question?
Call the question. Somebody said it was illegal before.
In a committee meeting.
Hello? There's too many voices speaking up.
I did it anyway, Robert.
Point of order.
It's been seconded.
Yeah, okay, Robert. Is that Robert calling the point of order?
Excuse me.
Yes.
I think the point is that we're not allowed to call a question on a committee meeting. All is hopefully agree that we've come to the end of the speakers list. Have we come to the end of the speakers list? Then we get to
vote. Thank you, Margie.
And it's Margie.
Ay, ay, ay. Can
we hear the motion again?
Can we vote? Oh, sure.
Can we hear it before we vote?
Oh, let's read it five times.
Oh, Donald.
Okay. Just a moment.
Pass out.
Motion, whereas WPFW members interpreted a statement by the CFO at an LSB meeting that there was some question as to the absolute restriction of restricted funds on page 9 of the audit under note number 4, restricted cash for WPFW in the amount of $208,430. These funds are restricted for use by WPFW for building fund only. Audit committee chair will correspond with management that restricted means just that, and that legally WPFW, wait a minute, this thing is moving out, must approve the usage of these funds, and neither the CFO or IED has authority to allocate these funds.
Hinchel votes yes, and my phone is on.
Okay. I'll take the roll call. Unless there are no objections.
That language was added in, was never there before. That's the part about who has authority to write the check. That's the thing that violates the California Corporations Code. Only the board of directors can determine where checkbooks are and who signs checks.
Yeah, but that's what makes me want to approve it. That was good, Campbell. That was good.
Okay.
If you want to manipulate this motion into something that says that a committee of the board can determine over the objections of the board of directors who signs checks and who has authority to sign checks, I can't vote for it because it's illegal.
The general manager...
Can we...
Yeah, hello.
Vote?
Vote. Take the vote.
Let's get real.
By the way, was that Donald who was speaking up?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was Robert speaking up.
Well,
it depends on who you're talking about.
Float it up or down. Do whatever. Let's just move forward.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay. Margie, take the roll call.
Let's see. Fred, are you going to vote? Or you don't vote?
I'm going to hold off as chair.
Okay. Jane, so you're voting yes for Campbell's motion, no, or abstain. Those are your choices. Jane Gatewood.
Yes.
Donald Goldmacher.
Yes.
William Herwagon.
Yes.
Nancy Henschel. She voted yes and her phone went dead. I remember now. Melinda.
I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no. Okay, thank you. Campbell Johnson.
Yes.
Lucette King.
Yes.
Janet Coburn.
Abstain.
Frank Lefevre.
Yes.
Robert Mark.
It's going nowhere.
No.
Thank you. Brenda Medina. Brenda. Okay.
Hello? Hi.
How do you vote?
I vote yes.
Thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay. And Margie votes yes. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 yes, 2 no's, and 1 abstention.
Thank you very much, everyone. And I think we spent a button.
And as chair, I will write the email and inform management of the committee's motion. And Campbell, please send me the motion in black and white.
I'd like to make a request
as a member of this committee. Given the fact that we are a committee, as such, not a board, we are a committee of the national board. Remember that we can't instruct anybody to do anything. What we can do, we can recommend. So make sure you don't reward it like we are telling them what to do.
Well, I was specifically instructed to use the word inform,
Exactly, and we voted on it.
Okay, I understand, but we could vote. We could vote for tomorrow for the post to become purple, and that wouldn't change anything.
But
next chair.
Yes, the next item, number two on our agenda, finally, is clarifications of rules for management versus finance. That's what I have down here in my notes.
That's not correct. That's not complete. Between management, finance, and audit.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I, this is Brenda. I wanted to kind of give my 2 cents as to why I brought this up.
Okay.
The
discussion.
Okay. So the reason why I brought this up was because I saw after last month's meeting, I felt very uncomfortable having the CFO and the IED on the same call that we had with the auditor. And the reason being is that the audit committee should be able to assess or discuss candidly with the auditor without interference of management or the finance committee. Now, management was on the call. Then afterwards, with regards to certain forms that needed to be filled out for CPB, we had two members of the finance committee talking about how they can assist with this process, which I think is fine that as concerned members, but that's not their role because the finance committee is separate, an independent committee from the audit committee, which is why it states in the bylaws that we can't serve on both because it's a conflict of interest. So I wanted to bring this up to the committee because lately I've been seeing through email exchanges and from our last call that there's kind of been a mix of roles and not clearly defined roles of what each entity should be doing. And I kind of want to leave it at that, see if any other folks wanted to chime in.
I do. I'm Melinda.
Janet Beck also.
Melinda. It's Melinda.
Okay.
I was
Go ahead, Melinda. You have the floor.
Okay. I've been a part of two previous audits, and in each instance, including back when we used to have Navarne as our CFO, we never had any difficulties, and in fact, she worked quite respectfully with the group.
She worked
She was very respectfully with the group. She did not in any way, act out, or we didn't have any problems. I mean, it's not like she was trying to play any kind of role or anything. She just listened in. She threw in tidbits that we needed to know. That's all. She was a contributing member. That's all.
Margie for the stack.
Yes, Margie. Janet, you're next.
Okay, so I'm not clear, and this is to me related to this whole issue, what the role of the audit committee is in terms of are we about ratifying what the management is trying to do? Are we supposed to serve as a control? I'm still not clear about that.
The committee.
Okay, Margie, you're next.
Thank you. So I wanted to say that my impression, and I spent some time looking at stuff online about this, is that the role of the audit committee needs to be independent from both the staff and the folks who make decisions about finances. It's supposed to make sure that that we have a truly independent audit. The audit committee Oh, here, I found something. Okay, it says, to ensure that the audit process is objective, this is, I'll send you all this link. This is the National Council of Nonprofits. To ensure that the audit process is objective, audit committee should be an independent body, meaning that no one on the audit committee is also employed by the nonprofit. And such independent frees the audit committee to make unbiased judgments about internal financial procedures and the performance of the nonprofit staff as well as the performance of the auditors without undue pressure that would exist if the members of the audit committee were employees. And it is, I have been on other nonprofit boards and once I was on the audit committee of that nonprofit. It was a relatively small organization, but we were advised by an attorney. We didn't pay him any money. He just gave us advice, but he knew something about nonprofit law, that the audit committee is supposed to be not only independent of staff, which would include both our IED and our CFO, but it's supposed to be independent of those who make the financial decisions for the organization. So the way Pacifica is set up is that no one who is on the National Finance Committee can also be on the Audit Committee and vice versa. There is, it really has to do with having an independent body that is not influenced by either the employees of the organization or by other committees within the organization to make independent decisions about who should do the audit and to review kind of the financial procedures within the organization to make sure that things are being done in a way that keeps us all safe and happy.
Thank you very much, Margie.
And I'll forward that to the committee.
Janet,
thank you.
Beck.
Mr. Chair, did you get me on the stack?
I didn't hear you, but Campbell, you, since Janet's already spoken, I'll let you go first and then Janet.
Okay. And this is something that I am usually not inclined to do, but Margie is entirely correct. It's a result of the Sarbanes-Oxley legislation, and that the audit function on a nonprofit board, on for-profit board also, is to be totally separate from the financial function, and no one is supposed to be, in management to serve on it. Now, we had a situation when LaVarne was CFO that we had some recommendations from the prior auditor, and we passed them on to LaVarne for implementation, and that was the engagement that when Nia was chair of the audit committee that we had with staff was to see that things were engaged. In particular, one of the issues was with regard to the retention and destruction of documents that the foundation had. And so, these are the kinds of things of responsibility that we had to maintain, a separate engagement of, and Margie was entirely correct, and I just wanted to add that 2 cents.
Janet, you have the floor.
Okay, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to articulate this well, but I think one of the things that's missing in the, so we're talking about management versus finance committee versus audit committee, but there's also the auditor, and so I wonder what the responsibility of the auditor is in terms of who he, she listens to and looks at in terms of what the conclusions are. So, for example, I'm just making this up. The auditor looks at the financial statements, etc., and talks to the CFO. But then there's also political issues, possibly, or other issues, and we've talked about this also before, about this is supposed to be the 12 months of the year that is looked at, and not long term, but apparently there is some has been some input about long term, and does the auditor, is it proper for the auditor to be looking or talking to management and including their input into the audit report?
What?
No. I'm done, so I mean, I still have questions, but...
Thank you.
Jane, you have the floor.
I think it's a very important conversation, because I think that once we engage the auditor, that at that point the auditor, you know the chair, you know, our chair should be dealing, you know, directly with the auditor as much as possible. I realize if there's been any issues with us not paying the auditor, it might have been difficult to have the full range of communication needed. But I do think that, for example, the question about the follow-up, I guess that it was, I kind of made it fuzzy when I said communicate with Raul and or Paul, but really I think it is proper for the chair, you know, to communicate directly with the auditor about follow-up on these documents. And I did get the distinct impression when we asked him questions on the last call that he was affirming that relationship, that the auditor would be reporting directly to our committee. So I think that that would be valuable to clarify whenever we're able to follow up, you know, schedule that follow-up meeting. So I'd just like to affirm what the other speakers have pointed to as an issue that we should try to focus on. Hey, Tosh.
Jane, this one comment. Your voice is sort of trailing off, and it sounded a little bit like you were mumbling. I didn't get the last sentence or so.
I just wanted to affirm the suggestion that relationship should be clarified, and perhaps we can do that in the follow-up meeting that we're attempting to get with the auditor.
Okay. Thank you. There was somebody else who wanted to speak, I believe, after Jane. I don't have anybody on the stack list at this point. Does anybody else want to jump into this discussion?
The only thing I have to say about the auditor is we ought to quit not paying them. I'm serious. I'm embarrassed. I'm humiliated because I've been on this audit committee for years. And we don't hire people. We are people who have labor shows. We only tell people about paying people, yet we work people into the ground and don't pay them. That's ridiculous.
Really?
Well, it's not funny.
Was that Melinda or
yes,
Nancy?
Yes, it is Melinda. It's Melinda.
Okay. It is not funny. But, of course, the chair is making a comment that we have been in a financial crisis for 5 years, and money
is... So what we do, we expect everybody to give us things, that's how we run our credit rating. Because nobody wants to do business with you if you don't pay your bills.
True. We have a boatload of financial problems.
So what?
And I think, Yankees,
let's get real. This is not the good shit lollipop. This is a business, and we got to quit being stupid. That's what it basically boils down to.
Actually, I agree with that. but this, where it gets messy is in the specifics. Okay, Jane, you have the floor.
Fred, could you find out for us if there's any payments that were passed due on to the auditor and report back to us on that?
I don't think the auditor has been paid in full, but I did see Summer last Saturday at the LSB meeting, and I think she indicated she made a recent payment to the auditor, and she's working very hard on that.
Could you find out directly from the auditor, ask him to provide us with an updated statement?
I will try and do that, committee.
Thank you.
So there's not a motion on the floor. We were having a general discussion about rules, rules and process around financial controls. There's a lot of noise on the line, by the way.
I apologize. That was me. I just got
okay.
home. I'm eating dinner.
We understand. Life must go on.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm looking here at the agenda here. People think they've dealt with this issue sufficiently? Is there anything else anybody wants to add on this item?
Janet Beck.
Okay, Janet, you have the floor.
Well, I have a request, if anybody is up to it, for somebody to write up the different responsibilities or, the management or when it comes to these matters, what the audit committee is supposed to be doing, what the finance committee's role is in this whole process, and what management and what auditor. I don't know if anybody would be willing to do that. I am still not clear enough to even attempt it.
Let me say I have a series of documents from the, I believe it's the National CPA Professional Organization, documents going over the roles of the audit committee. I have it in a series of, I believe it's zipped PDF documents. I will send it out to the committee later this evening. It's very general, but it might people might find it useful. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. The next item on the agenda, if there's no more discussion on this, I guess is a short item on the status of the 990 tax forms and CPB AFRs. I got a short moment with Summer this last weekend, and she seemed to indicate that there's some kind of a problem in getting those completed. I gather it's jointly between the audit firm and the department that they have assigned to doing the tax form and the CFO. So evidently, I don't know what the nature of that is and how long, what the time frame is until we actually get those. But I just wanted to state that. We are supposed to go over those documents before they are submitted, and when we do get those, I will send them out. If anybody wants to ask any more questions on that, I have very little information. But this was supposed to be completed about approximately the same time as the audit. Um, Are we losing members on this call at this point? I hear dead silence.
Oh, no, listening.
Okay, I really don't have any more to say on that point, and I wanted to have some kind of a discussion on how the committee goes about making a recommendation on retention. The last last item on the agenda is how we make a recommendation on retention or replacement of our auditor for the coming year.
Jane Gatewood for the staff.
Okay, Jane.
Campbell.
Who else? So we have Jane Campbell. Who else?
Melinda.
Melinda. Anybody else? Okay, Jane, you have the floor.
I'm very interested in two pieces of information. Number one, I'm interested to know about the exact payment history and the extent to which work may have been delayed because payments were not made. So if you can try to get a clear answer to that question directly from Paul O'Grady, I would be grateful. I would just like to hear it from the auditor directly, if that's feasible. The other question is one that I asked early on, and I never got an answer to it. It had to do with the extraordinary delay in moving forward with this. We knew that we had problems with the national office not being adequately staffed in order to get the annual report out on a timely basis. And one of the things that we considered to be very important about the firm that we chose is because they had the capacity to perhaps fill in some gaps. So I will resend those questions to you. For me personally, I'd like to understand what broke down in the process, and if it was simply because we weren't paying them, I think that we need to look at that very seriously.
Are you talking about historically only this year or going back years?
No. I'm just talking about for this year's audit, we specifically anticipated that the firm that we selected had and was big enough that they could actually put people in the national office. I'm going to resend those questions, but
the two
questions are closely related. I would like to know just the story of payments with this auditor from the time that we engaged him, and whether the slow payments, whether that the extent to which that may have played a factor at different points in this process. And then those other questions I'll resend. I have to find them.
Thank you. Campbell, you're next on the stack.
Yes, thank you very much. I've got a couple of items that I think the committee would be interested in regard to the selection of auditors from two different entities, both CPA entities, and I think that will perhaps answer all the questions that people have, plus which I have somewhere a lot of the Sarbanes-Oxley information that I think would be useful insofar as us being able to define the role of an audit committee as opposed to the function of a finance committee on a board and the function of CFO. These things perhaps we should have had way long ago, but I'll send them out now and share them with the body. And that should help us in terms of looking at the approach that we'd want to take regarding the selection of an auditor for next year and whether we want to go with the current one. I have been just kind of, not as a member of the audit committee, but I had reviewed the proposals from the auditors last year, and the auditor we ended up with was one that I had felt was the strongest of those who had submitted proposals. So, I think we got to But, you know, it's how the committee decides that it wants to proceed. Thank you.
Okay, Melinda? By the way, thank you, Campbell, for congratulating the committee on its work last year. It took us 3 months to select the audit firm. Melinda, you have the floor. Are you still there?
I think we're about
well,
2 minutes. We're about two
okay,
minutes.
I was on the mute. I had the mute button. Okay, I had the mute button. I apologize. I can now see my gun's talking. The thing is that still bothers me. I asked Tony Pales years ago, when he was first an auditor, to make sure to let the audit committee know if we had individuals in the stations who literally folded their arms and said under no circumstances were they going to give certain information. That has always proven to be a very sore point with me because none of these general managers have the right to do that. When the national tells you, you have to open the book. You got to do it. And I'd like very much to know if we have any more of that kind of silliness going on.
Thank you, Melinda.
And not to mention paying the dude. That's ridiculous.
Melinda, all I can say as chair is that directors have the absolute legal right to inspect the books. Because of Pacifica's sort of strange dual-layer governance.
No, it's strange because we're a bunch of idiots. The truth of the matter being known, they're not auditors. We hire an auditor to get an independent viewpoint from people who know the books. This is why our books are so wrong. It's because we've had people who didn't know what they were doing it. Now, what we need to do is to turn it over to the auditor, period, because that's what you do. And I have done audits before. This is something an auditor does, not somebody who barely knows how to do a parliamentary procedure.
Thank you, Melinda. Anybody else want to get on the stack here?
Aren't we about 3 minutes past the time certain for adjournment?
Do people want to call it an evening at this point?
Are we not waiting for the CFO?
He should have shown up 5 minutes ago. If he, Raul, are you on the line by any chance? I think we probably lost him at this point.
Check, can I move to adjourn?
I'm sorry, who was that?
Lizette.
Lizette. It doesn't have to be second. Is there any objection?
Without objection.
I guess we call it an evening.
Mr. Chair, question quick. Did you get my, I sent it to the audit committee Google group. Is that correct for this committee?
No. We have our own listserv. It's auditlist@kpftx.org.
Oh, okay. Auditlist@kpftx.org.
Right. Let me see if I got anything anyway.
kpftx.org.
No, okay,
I'll send them again.
auditlist@kpftx.org.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Campbell. Okay, I guess we're officially adjourned. I'm tired. It's been a long meeting. People may want to send me suggestions for topics for next month's audit meeting. Thank you, everybody. Good evening.
Thank you, Fred. Good night.
Thank you, Fred. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.